The third story, A Voyage in Deep Waters. When God created this world, he looked upon it and said that it was good. He had made it very beautiful and had put upon it the trees and flowers, the fruits and animals, that the people whom he had made to live there might be very happy and that they too might be good. But the people had disobeyed God, and as the years passed, had grown very wicked. They were very violent and were fighting and quarreling, and they imagined all sorts of evil things. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. But there was one strong and mighty man who was also a good man. He was pure in his way of thinking and living. So God spoke to this man, Noah, saying, "The wickedness of the people is so great, they must be destroyed. A flood of waters will come upon the earth, and every person and everything will die. But with thee I will make a covenant. Make an ark that will float on water, and into the ark shalt thou go, and thy wife, and thy sons with their wives, and ye shall all be safe. The animals of every kind, the birds and the creeping things, shall come unto thee. Of every living thing thou shalt take some, and save them, and thou shalt take food into the ark, that all may be kept alive. Make the ark of gopher wood, that is pine or cypress wood, 300 cubits in length, about 450 feet long, 50 cubits in breadth, 75 feet broad, 30 cubits in height, 45 feet high. Have cells in the ark and cover it all over with bitumen, that it may be watertight. Make it 3 stories high and have a space, a cubit wide, left open under the roof all around the ark to give light and air, and have a door in the side of it." Most people would have doubted, questioned, and wanted to know more about the flood. Noah did as he was told. According to all that God commanded him, so did he. A long time afterwards it was said of him, "By faith Noah, being warned of God concerning things not seen as yet, prepared an ark to the saving of his house." He and his sons were busy for many days. When the work was completed and the time for this flood came, God said unto Noah, "Come thou and all thy house into the ark." Then Noah and his wife and his sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and their wives went in. He took in also 2 of a kind, the male and the female, of all the animals that were round about, and of the birds and the creeping things. Animals come for human protection when they sense danger. Perhaps that was why they came to Noah just then. Then came the flood in the 2nd month of the year, which is the same as our November, the usual rainy season in the country of the Hebrews. It rained and rained. It rained for 40 days and 40 nights, and the people said, "The windows of heaven were opened, and the fountains of the great deep were broken up." They believed that there were waters under the earth, which were the source of springs and seas. These burst forth, as did also the rain from the clouds. The waters prevailed exceedingly, so that even the mountains were covered, and every living thing was destroyed, both man and cattle, birds and creeping things. Noah only was left, and they that were with him in the ark. At last God sent forth a wind, and the rain ceased. The windows of heaven were closed, and so also were the fountains of the deep. By and by the ark rested on one of the high mountains of Ararat, a district in the land now called Armenia, northeast of Babylon. At the end of 40 days, Noah opened the window of the ark and let a raven fly out. This is one of the keenest-eyed birds and the strongest of wing. The raven is able to live on the carrion floating on the water, so it went to and fro till the waters were dried up from the earth. Then Noah sent forth a dove to see if the waters had lessened. But the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot. She returned to the ark, and he put forth his hand and took her in. He waited another 7 days, and again he sent forth the dove. At evening time she returned, and lo, this time a fresh olive leaf was in her mouth. Now Noah knew that the waters had gone down. The dove went some distance to find that leaf, for olive trees grow only in the low and warm land. She would look for that kind of a tree, for to this day the doves make their nests in the olive trees, and their soft cooing may be heard with the breezes. Do you remember how the carrier pigeon travels long distances and brings back messages to its sender? One more week went by, and once more Noah sent forth a dove, and this time she did not return. There was no need now for her to have the shelter of the ark. Noah still waited some days and then took off the covering of the ark. When the earth was dry, God told him to go forth and to take with him all those who had been saved. Noah went out, and one of the first things he did was to build an altar to God and offer a burnt offering. This is the first story in which we hear of an altar and of burnt offerings, which became so usual in the later days of sacrifice. As Noah gave thanks with his offerings to God, he heard a voice saying, "I will not again curse the ground for the sake of man, neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease." This was the beginning of God's covenant with his people, which in the stories of later times is so often spoken of. A covenant is a promise between two persons or more, with something to be done on either side, as in this story. Noah obeyed, and God saved him. When Noah heard that voice, he looked up and saw a rainbow. A storm was passing, and through the breaking clouds the sun shone on the glistening water drops, and they gave back to the sky the arch of beautiful colors. God said, "The rainbow that is in the clouds shall be a token of a covenant between me and you and every living creature. I will look upon it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and all flesh that is upon the earth." Some outward token was usually chosen in the making of a covenant, as a witness of what had been done. So the rainbow came to be a bow of promise, for God said, "I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth." This wonderful but natural appearance in the sky had a special message to several of the ancient peoples. To the Hindus, it was the many-colored war bow of the god Indra, which he had laid aside after gaining a victory over the demons. To the Greeks, it was the messenger of the gods, named Iris, and its appearance often foretold the coming of war. In a poem of the Icelanders, it is the bridge built by the gods connecting heaven and earth, and one of our own poets says, "How glorious is thy girdle cast o'er mountain, tower, and town, or mirrored in the ocean vast 1,000 fathoms down, as fresh in yon horizon dark, as young thy beauty seem, as when the eagle from the ark first sported in thy beam. For, faithful to its sacred page, heaven still rebuilds thy span, nor lets the type grow pale with age that first spoke peace to man." There was one other message given to all people by way of Noah. Animals had been subject to man, but now God said to him, "Every moving thing that liveth shall be food for thee. Thou hast power to keep alive or to kill, and naturally the animals will fear thee. Man may slay animals," it is added, "but human life is to be sacred. If anyone sheds another's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for man is made in the image of God." Someone has beautifully explained this by saying, "He who touches man touches God." When Noah went out of the ark, God blessed him and his sons and bid them replenish the earth. There are many questions we should like to ask about this story. It is so strange and so like a wonder story, but one of the beautiful things about God's word is that it tells so many things to show us how great and powerful God is. If we could explain all that God does, he would be no greater than ourselves. And if he had done only the things which might easily occur at any time, the people living in those early days when there was no Bible to make them acquainted with him would have had little knowledge of his power. The prophet Amos realized that the forces of land and sky, of air and water, are in God's hand, for he said, "Seek him that calleth for the waters of the sea." Many of the early nations had flood stories. The Babylonians, who were associated with the first people told of in the Bible, had a story very much like this one of Noah and the flood, showing that they must have known something of the deluge, though they did not have a beautiful Bible story, nor the great truths God would have it teach.